Welcome and thank you for joining us today for MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we bring awareness to nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their generosity, their purpose, and their impact. Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are doing great things through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join me for our conversation today as we learn what the nonprofit is doing to make a difference in the community, and you can learn how you can make a difference as well. If you're an empty nester or you live alone, what do you do for fun? Are you a homebody by nature, or do you just not know where to go to plug in for fun or fellowship? Our next guest today invites people from all over our community to join in for fun and fellowship. Welcome to the show today, Kelly Lemons, founder of A Place to Be, whose mission is to accompany those who seek meaning and purpose in life and something beyond themselves. Thanks for joining me today, Kelly.
Thanks, Jill. Glad to be here.
We're happy to have you here. So let's start by you telling us all about A Place to Be and why is it so special?
Yeah, thanks for the question. Let me ask you, when you hear the name of our organization, A Place to Be, what comes up for you?
I would say I think of a safe place, inclusivity, belonging, which looks different for a lot of different people, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what comes to top of mind.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we are. We are a safe place for folks to gather and explore themselves, explore who they are and what they're about. We strive to bring all sorts of diverse groups of people together to engage in conversations, community, and fellowship and fun. We have a lot of fun.
Lots of fun.
We do a lot of activities that some are geared to go deeper into the deeper questions of life. Some are geared just to be social gatherings and just play games or create beautiful art or just hang out together. So it's a place where folks come together to connect on all sorts of different levels.
Okay. And how did it come about? You're the founder. So talk to us about what was the idea behind this concept?
Yeah. So when I was quite young, a little girl, I experienced this deep rejection from my family of origin. On top of that, I came to understand that who I was wasn't enough, wasn't good enough. And so I began to live very much outside of myself, constantly trying to fit in, constantly trying to, you know, belong, feeling on the margins, feeling ostracized. And so this is how I grew up. And as an adult, that manifested in some pretty dysfunctional ways and pretty hurtful ways. And I reached this point where I kind of crashed. Fortunately, I got connected with this amazing spiritual director who created a container for me to start unpacking all of these things that had happened in my life, start deconstructing these pillars of values that I thought my life was all about, you know, the myths and stories that we learn as we're growing up. And as I began peeling all those layers away, I gained insight into who I really was and what I was really about and what I was created to be. And with that came this enormous sense of freedom and belonging, belonging to myself, belonging to a bigger community than what I had ever known before. It just landed so amazing and it was transformational. I don't really have quite the words for it. And so when I experienced that and noticed how profoundly it had changed my life, I wanted others to experience that. And so out of that came this vision for a community that did that for others, a community that offered safe space for folks to just be themselves, show up however we are, whoever we are in any given day, and be loved and accepted and welcomed.
And no agenda.
Because
everybody needs something different, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no agenda. Yeah. Just to be seen and heard is unbelievable. And if you've never experienced that, it's hard to understand. But once you experience that, you can never go back.
Right.
It's truly special.
I think about those people that are in isolation. I think COVID kind of brought that to the forefront. There have always been people that have been isolated, whether it's a teen that is ostracized or bullied, whatever it is, or all the way up to a senior who lives alone and really has no one. And it's so important. There's so many studies out there that show the importance of being in community, mm-hmm. being with others. And sometimes people would have to force themselves, I think, to get to that space where they're fellowshipping with other people. But mm-hmm. the bottom line is it's so good for them
mm-hmm.
and for the group as a whole.
Absolutely.
Because you think about all the different personalities and the dynamics of all the different people, and then you come together and what a great space that mm-hmm. creates.
It's also, though, if I might add to that, that what I've experienced is even when I was within community, I worked for a church for many, many years, and being within a community, I was incredibly lonely.
Mm.
I was incredibly isolated. It wasn't welcoming. Mm. It wasn't inclusive. And so even when one is in a situation where they have community, it can be also very isolating and feel very alone because you're not connecting on that intimate level. You're not connecting where you can be vulnerable, where you can be real.
Yeah.
And so that's what we try to do is be a space where we can be real with each other, where that true connection can happen.
And that's probably the better word is connection mm-hmm. because community just to me means there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And as you said, you could be surrounded by a lot of people and not making those authentic connections.
Yeah, absolutely.
On your website, you call yourself an authentic community. Mm-hmm. Tell us what that means to you and to the people that you serve.
Yeah, authentic is such an overused word these days. So I appreciate the question. You know, to be authentic at a place to be is really about being real. You know, allowing ourselves to be vulnerable with each other, mm. allowing ourselves to open up and be seen. We have so many people who have struggled with depression or anxiety or all sorts of other mental health challenges. And they can come into our space and share, yeah, I'm just feeling really down today. Or I'm feeling really anxious about what's going on in the world. And be held in space where they can be cared for. We have one individual who is, over the years that she has been with us, has had this progressive disease. And gradually over time, she has not been able to take care of herself or get to our facility. Okay. And so we have another member of our community who goes and gets her mm-hmm. and drives her to the facility. Another one of our members gets a special chair for her so she can sit comfortably. We serve her wine. We get her materials ready for her. And she's able to engage in this conversation among the group. Mm-hmm. And then when we wrap up and leave, people escort her out to the car. I mean, it's just such a sense of warm and welcoming, whereas, you know, 5 years ago, she was able to do all that for herself.
Sure. Yeah.
But now she needs all this, the support and care that in that very little time that she's with us, we can provide for her. It's just such a genuine care.
And it sounds like a safe space. You know, physically, certainly, but emotionally.
Yeah, some people joke that it's like therapy, group therapy or spiritual therapy, group spiritual direction. But it really is a space where we can explore all sorts of different topics, all sorts of different life events, and find where we have more connection and more in common than we think.
More in common than what divides, right?
Yeah.
What do you think attracts folks to a place to be? What draws them in? You know, you talked a little bit about it, but more specifically.
Yeah, so at first I think sometimes it's just the offerings that we have. We have drumming circle, we have art nights, we have game nights, we have Bible studies and book studies. So at first, on the first level, it's what we might be offering that they're interested in. But then they step in the door as strangers and leave as friends. Mm. They get to know us a little bit better. They find out that we really do want to know what they're interested in, what they care about. They begin connecting with other participants and make friends and realize what a welcoming community it is. We try to provide space to unpack the things that are happening in the world, like major world events. Right. You know, we always have these topics where you're not supposed to talk about religion and politics.
Right, right.
We go there.
Okay.
Not, you know, we provide space for folks just to process what's happening. It isn't about changing someone's mind. It's mm-hmm. about how are we feeling about these world's events and can we process that together? And we find that even though we are on different ends of the political spectrum or in different religious denominations, sometimes completely different faith traditions, we're able to find commonality because, mm-hmm. you know, at the core, we're human beings and we share experiences and we hurt the same way or we worry the same way or we stress the same way. And so to be able to provide opportunities for folks to unpack that in a group, a safe group, a you know, a safe space, that's transformational too.
Okay. Well, your full organization name is A Place to Be Spirituality Center. What does that look like for your organization? You talked again a little bit about it in some of your programming, but what does that mean from a general standpoint?
Yeah, so...
And more specifically, I guess, too.
Yeah. So I'm a believer that we all have a spirituality, whether we have an awareness of it or not. Some of us have a spirituality that aligns with a particular faith tradition. Others have a spirituality that doesn't fit in any bucket. Mm-hmm. And others might even think I'm not religious at all, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But for us, spirituality is really, how do we look at the world? What guides our decisions? What guides what we do, our activities? And so everything we do turns out to be a spiritual activity. We can be having a potluck and game night, and yet that connecting on that human level is a spiritual thing. We have euchre nights where the young and the old get together and play euchre, which we teach if you don't know how to play it. We have a perfect person who teaches it.
No, I've never heard of it, actually.
It's a card game from Michigan, I think.
Okay.
So, you know, just that connection is spiritual. So we may not be doing an overtly spiritual activity like a Bible study or a spiritual book study, but we're still connecting on a spiritual level.
Okay.
We have folks, you know, we're really careful about what language we use around spirituality, because I have a really good friend of mine who can't use the word God. For her, she was traumatized. Mm. And for her, that word just triggers her. And so out of getting to know her, but I've learned to be really mindful of how do I talk about the divine? How do others talk about that and have a sensitivity towards their own experience of spirituality? But also to provide that space where we can explore that together, where we can, you know, for those who say, I don't have a spirituality, well, what does that mean? Then let's learn more about that. Yeah. And
you have to believe in something.
Everybody believes in something.
Yeah, what is that belief?
Yeah.
So you talk about the fact that you are a spirituality center, but not everything revolves around that. And if you think of spirituality in a Christian context, but are you affiliated with, or do you partner, collaborate with other religious organizations?
We are not aligned with any one denomination, but we collaborate with everyone.
Okay.
We are very involved with the ecumenical churches of the area that we're in. So we do Thanksgiving prayer services, we do prayer groups, we do various ecumenical activities with them.
Okay.
We're connected to the Interfaith Conference of Milwaukee, where we collaborate with them on activities and engage in different events with them. We engage with different organizations throughout the community, like Balance Inc., which works with developmentally disabled adults and I think children as well. They come and do drumming circles. We do also, we did cookies together. We did made jewelry together. It's just such a joyful group. So,
and they were actually a guest on the show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, fabulous. So, yeah. I love working with them. I mean, whenever we can, I love working with other organizations. We do so much better together,
right?
And
right.
more together. Mm-hmm. So whenever I can, I'm looking for opportunities to get involved with other organizations.
Nice. Well, you talk about how important it is to gather with others in the community for fellowship and fun. But what are some of those opportunities that you offer to accomplish that? We're going to take a quick commercial break, but join me as we return, and Kelly will talk more about that in a minute.
Milwaukee's philanthropic community is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. This year, EIG celebrates 30 years of thoughtful growth, personalized service, and community impact. From a kitchen table vision to a boutique wealth management firm, EIG has always put people first, offering transparent advice, fiduciary care, and education that empowers families for generations. To learn more, visit ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and my guest today is Kelly Lemons, founder of A Place to Be. So, Kelly, this idea of being in community is a common theme among many nonprofits. It just looks different for different organizations and different ways that they can provide that. Tell us what A Place to Be offers to allow people to be in community?
Some of our most popular groups are, we have a spirituality book club. This group has been meeting for, gosh, over 10 years.
Okay.
And we explore different authors. We explore different topics. And the book really acts as just a launching point to a deeper discussion of whatever the conversation is at that point in time. And there, too, it becomes just this deep sharing opportunity. We have Bible studies that dive deep into scriptures. We have art nights. Art nights are so much fun. No skill required. Like when I started doing this, I couldn't even draw a stick figure very well. And
it's okay to be craft challenged.
Oh my gosh, it was terrible. Okay. But our leaders in these art nights walk you step by step by step through whatever the activity is, so that at the end of the night, you have created this beautiful piece of art. We did this necklace at our chainmail event just a week or so ago. I had someone who came to just one of our free-for-all nights. Sometimes we'll just do fun paint nights. And she came up and she says, I'm an engineer. I can't do anything. I can't paint. I can't. I'm like, come on, let's sit down. And we walked through it step by step. And at the end of the night, she held up her painting and she said, I did this. Mm. And she was so proud. And she just, the glow on her face was precious.
Mm-hmm.
So those are really, really fun, really great activities. We have drum circle, which is actually very contemplative. Practice. It's one of our more popular items too. I have drums. We have buffalo drums, djembe drums. We have instruments, or people bring their own drums.
Okay.
And it's very prayerful. It's very quiet. It's very contemplative. It's very rhythmic in the sense that we're all just drumming what comes to the heart.
Is it like a sound bath? I mean, have you heard of those?
I've actually done one of those. Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. It's about getting out of, there's no wrong way to drum.
Right.
So you get out of your head and allow your body to drum what needs to be drummed is how I say it.
Okay.
And sometimes we drum prayer intentions, sometimes world prayer intentions. Sometimes we just drum because we just want to get quiet. It's really an amazing.
That's interesting.
Amazing.
You drum to get quiet because drums are not. My husband's a drummer, and drums are not quiet,
right.
But I imagine how you use them and the type of drum.
Yeah.
So I've done a couple sound baths recently, and I don't know what kind of drums they are, but I mean, there's just like the gong sound drums, and then there's the real light drums, and you just get a mix of all those things, and it just takes you to a different place. It's very relaxing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what the difference with our drum circle is you're drumming.
Okay.
And so you are creating that vibration over your body. Like sometimes I'll drum over my head, sometimes I'll drum over my heart, sometimes I'll point it towards my feet, and I just allow the vibration to move over my body, however my body is asking for it. And I'm generating that. And sometimes I drum really loud, and sometimes I drum really fast, and sometimes I drum really slow and quiet. Whatever my heart is calling out for, or my soul is calling out for at that point in time, I just let my body respond.
Everybody is doing that at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that's kind of like a cacophony of sound.
It can be. Sometimes we're drumming together.
In a good
way,
I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the wrong word to use.
No, it's great actually, because oftentimes we're not beating together and it doesn't matter. And then we will. And then we fall into a pattern where we are, and then we kind of float in and out. And it's
works.
Very spirit led. It's
okay.
Very contemplative. It's wonderful.
So you don't have to have your own drum.
No.
But if you do, you can bring it.
Welcome
and...
to bring it. So or we... other instruments. Some people bring other instruments as well.
Like the triangle that has such a nice soft sound. Or
Yeah. Very nice.
Just very nice.
Yeah. So it's just a couple of things. Like I said, we have euchre nights. We have potlucks and game nights.
Okay.
So those are always so much fun. And community building. Again, you know, you don't need a date. Just come.
Right.
It's one of those situations where if you are single or you're alone, just come, because you're just going to come out and hang out with some really cool people, play some really fun games, eat some really good food. And
that's always good.
Have a great
games
evening.
And food. That is a good combination. Well, you're in the Grafton area, I understand. But if someone doesn't live in that area, are they still able to participate?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, COVID for us, I know it was hard for many, but for us, it was a blessing in disguise, because within a very short period of time, we flipped to technology.
Okay.
So we had all of our groups on Zoom, which I know sounds really challenging from us. How can you build community over Zoom? I know a lot of people don't like Zoom.
Right.
It worked for us. We still do some of our groups Zoom only. we are able to do hybrid groups. And so we have folks from California, from Denver, from Colorado, from Florida, who plug into our groups because we can do this through technology. So we do everything. For us, it's really about breaking down barriers. How can we make this community as accessible as possible for as many people as possible? And I'm willing to, you know, kind of do gymnastics to make that work, because it's far more important that someone engage, and I'll do whatever I can do to make that work. So,
Anywhere across the country, and you'll make it work. Because don't they have games where you can compete with people? Well, that's online, I suppose, but you're still engaging with other people virtually, I guess that's the better word. You're connecting in a different way with somebody else.
Yeah, I think one of the challenges that people find with Zoom is they don't feel that connection.
Right.
You know, how can you achieve vulnerability in a room on the screen? And yet somehow we have.
It works somehow. Huh?
Yeah, I have a person in Florida who she kind of fell off the radar for a year and we didn't see her. And then she plugged back in for one of our book studies. And her first time back, she had shared that she had had a stroke and had lost much of the use of half of her one side, left or right side, I can't remember which. And she had been going through physical therapy and occupational therapy for this last year and had finally regained some movement of her face and was able to speak. And our group was the first group she came back to because she felt safe.
Oh, wow.
And she didn't, she knew that she didn't look normal, but it didn't matter. We were going to love her anyway. Mm. And she felt safe enough to come back and she missed it. And she just needed that connection back.
That speaks volumes, again, to that safety in with others.
Yeah, and that crossing over thousands of miles, you know, to be able to feel that connection and know that you're held in such care.
Yeah, it's sad that she may not have found a community locally, but such a blessing that she knew that you existed and she felt safe to come back and be with you. So that's wonderful. Most of the offerings on your website indicate a suggested donation. Mm-hmm. What if someone can't afford to make the suggested donation?
Yeah, we're living in difficult times. Mm. Yeah, so that again, it's about reducing barriers. We're really blessed to have donors who help us set up a scholarship fund so that we can cover the costs of any programming for folks who can't afford it.
Okay.
We had a woman who was living in her car. And, you know, I was really probably the only one who knew that. But she wanted to participate in a book study. Now, of course, she wasn't going to be able to afford the books or anything. I'm like, not a problem. So I provide, you know, we covered the cost of the books for her. And she came and she was a little reserved at first, but very quickly started opening up with the others in the group. And she said to me afterwards, she said, I thought they were going to be really pretentious. And I thought they were going to look down on me. And I thought I'd feel really uncomfortable. But this was really welcoming. Mm. This was really great to be able to engage in this kind of conversation.
And sometimes people don't know that they need it.
Right.
You know, how many times I meet them all the time. I'm sure you do as well. People that say, I don't need anybody. I'm totally fine sitting by myself at home watching TV or reading or doing whatever. But again, there's so many studies that indicate how healthy in so many ways it is to be with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, even if you have to force yourself initially, you quickly find out that, hey, this is fun.
This isn't so bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to make that as accessible as possible. So money will never be a barrier for us, ever. Just come.
Right.
And participate.
And see what it's about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have an annual fundraiser to help you raise the money that you need to sustain your programming?
Yeah, so in the spring, usually, we have this great gala, which is kind of focused on art, actually.
Okay.
We have, what part of it is where we have 25 pieces of original artwork from local artists, which you have an opportunity to obtain. So you have your own unique piece of art at a fairly reasonable price.
Do you have to bid on it, or it's just...
Well, you buy a ticket, and then it becomes a lottery.
Okay.
So depending on the first person who gets called gets their pick of the 25 items.
Oh, okay.
And then it goes down from there.
All right.
At that same event, we have two live artists creating art during the night, which is so much fun seeing their art come to life. We have creativity corners where you can create your own art. We have silent auction, and we have some great local musicians and the food. So that event is our gala coming up in the spring. So you have to check our website out for details.
Okay. All right. Well, what call to action would you like to leave with our audience today? We talked about a lot of different things, but if you could summarize, or if there's one main point that you would like to share, what would that be?
Yeah. Come join us. Come to the fundraiser. But really, just come and join us for drumming, join us for a book study, join us for a Bible study. Just come to the potluck. Check out our activities online. Of course, we love donations. We would never turn donations away. And I'm always looking for folks who are willing to lead a program, lead a study, lead a book, facilitate something. And if you're an artist and are looking for an outlet to share your art, always looking for local artists to lead an art night for us. Okay. So the biggest thing is just get involved. Just come and check us out.
Well, what's the best way for people to do that?
Yeah, so check out our website, www.aplacetobesc.org is where you'll find all of our programs and offerings. We also have Facebook. You can find us on Facebook, and we have a pretty active Facebook page. So that's also a way to keep really up to date on what's going on.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today, Kelly Lemons from A Place to Be. I appreciate you sharing all the wonderful ways that you're engaging with the community for fun and fellowship. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Jill. It's been my pleasure.
You are welcome. I invite you to join us next week. We have new episodes that drop every Thursday morning, and I'll give you an opportunity to meet great nonprofits like A Place to Be and find out how these organizations are making a difference in our community. And you can also find out how you can make a difference as well, whether that's using your time, your talents, or your treasures. So always remember, whether you are at home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.